Welcome to the Teach the Geek podcast, where engineer and author Neil Thompson talks with STEM professionals about public speaking, a struggle for many of us. Whether you're a novice public speaker or a proficient one, you can always pick up tips on how to improve. Here's your host, Neil Thompson.
Welcome to another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I am the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Today, my guest is Stephanie Nowak. She is a mental fitness coach, a life coach, and a speaker. But she wasn't all these things. However, she worked as an engineer for years before making the switch. Did I mention she's also the proprietor of a vegan cookie business? She's lived more lives than a cat. I'm really interested to hear more about her story. So welcome to Teach the Geek Interviews, Stephanie.
Well, thanks, Neil. I appreciate you having me here today.
Great. From the bit of research I did on you, I saw that you studied electrical engineering. So what was the motivation to study that?
Yeah, so I will say I might be a little different than a lot of people who go into engineering. I actually didn't have like a huge aspiration in high school to be an engineer. I wanted to do something that I could use math and science, and so engineering was the answer. My dad and my grandfather were both electricians, and so it just kind of naturally followed to go into electrical engineering.
Okay. I also didn't have aspirations to become an engineer. I became one because my father said I should. I was okay at math and science. I wasn't even all that enamored with it, really. But I guess he figured with an engineering degree, you could get a pretty good paying job afterwards. So engineering it was.
So I also know sometimes we just fall into those things, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, engineering of all the things to fall into, like probably the most difficult undergraduate degree there is. There, that's what we're falling into. I could have fell into English. It would have been a lot easier for me. Yeah. I also noticed that you got an MBA. So what was the motivation to get that degree?
So the MBA was actually later in my career. So I was almost 40 before I got the MBA. And it really was just to progress in my career. And I knew that I was not wanting to continue with doing design or project management. And so the MBA would offer me some more opportunities to seek other positions within my company.
Okay. But when you were working as an engineer, what type of work did you do?
So I worked in construction, and I started out in design, and I worked for 11 years working on electrical designs for primarily commercial buildings, laboratories, upper education, like higher education buildings for colleges and universities, and then branched out into like very specialized things like data center commissioning. I actually worked on an airplane hangar. So I did a lot of different electrical designs for buildings. And then I transitioned after that into project management. So I actually was managing construction projects on the owner side. And from there, moved into a managerial role managing people.
Okay, so it was from engineer to project manager to a manager of people. When it comes to you being a project manager, I was told when I was considering becoming a project manager, I did end up getting my PMP certification, but I remember during the classes I was taking to prepare myself for that exam, the people who ran it, the people who ran the boot camp, they said that if you don't have a background in the field that you're being a project management for, that's fine because the frameworks, you know, being the project manager, you don't really need that background. It has to do with managing the projects. But I always found that, you know, I worked in medical devices and just in those type of jobs, they tended to just, when it came to employing project managers, they would promote people who were technical to those roles. They would never take people from outside. And these, it was very difficult for those people to get those types of jobs. Was it the same in your industry?
Absolutely. We really didn't see project managers who didn't have construction backgrounds. So construction is obviously very specialized. And if you don't have an understanding of how a building comes together and all the pieces and parts and how the different systems work together, it's very hard to manage projects in construction. So I would say it's that guidance that you don't have to have that technical background doesn't apply across the board, certainly not in construction. It would be very difficult and challenging if you didn't have any construction background to manage a construction project.
Yeah. You also mentioned that you were a manager of people. When you became a manager of people, what's one thing that you didn't anticipate about having that responsibility?
Well, I think that my MBA prepared me a little bit for that role, but I think that what I didn't anticipate was the challenges of managing both up and down. And so, being responsible to my manager above me and, his management as well, and reporting to them, but also managing down so that I was being the best leader that I could be for my team. And so I was kind of that go-between, between people above me and the people who were working directly for me. And I don't think I really anticipated that challenge. And the other thing that I thought was interesting moving into management is you don't really ever know if you're doing a good job or not. So your manager only sees one piece of what you're doing, but you never know if your direct reports think that you're doing a good job, because they're never going to come to you and say, "Hey, Stephanie, I think you're doing a great job as my manager." That just doesn't happen. So I think that where I felt like I was sometimes, a little bit in limbo and not knowing if I was doing a good job as a leader.
Wow, that's actually a really good point. I think you're right, but then I've heard this term called psychological safety, and I think what it means essentially is people are comfortable coming to you with any kind of issues that they have. And but if you have an issue with your boss not being the best boss, do you have that psychological safety to go up to that person and say so? Because you might be thinking, well, I mean, if I tell them anything that's negative, if there ever were layoffs, I'm not going to be first on
Right,
the
exactly. So I think that, and when we think of ourselves as the employee, how many times over the years have you not had a great manager and you don't go to them and say, "I don't think you're doing a good job"? That rarely happens. So yeah, I think that was one of the things that I wasn't really planning for or expecting.
Yeah, that thing that type of information typically comes out in the exit interview.
Yeah. It
Yeah,
definitely does. That's a great point, Neil.
it's so unfortunate too, because I mean, a lot of times there could be a whole lot of issues that could have possibly been corrected or at least looked at if it was brought up. I mean, you mentioned you have no clue whether you think that if you, whether you're doing a good job, because they don't tell you. And so how are you supposed to make any kind of changes based on, no news? Often you hear no news is good
Absolutely.
news. It's like, no, not necessarily.
I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Just keep doing what you're doing. It's working, right? And then the exit
Right.
interview. And then the exit interview, I hated that woman. It's crazy. But okay, so when it comes also to being a manager of people, or even when you were a project manager, I mean, you had that kind of progression. Is that something that you were looking to do, or is that something that kind of fell into your lap?
In this case, it actually fell into my lap, the manager of people role at least. The project management role I did seek out, and I wanted to change from design into project management. But the manager of people role, just we had a early retirement package at our company, and we had a lot of people who had been there for a long time, say 30, 40 years, and many people took the early retirement package. So we had a mass exodus. And so from that, just roles were vacated, and then they had to move people up into the roles that had been vacated. And so that's how I became the manager of people. I had just finished my MBA, and so that made me, more qualified to be a manager of people. So the timing was great. And so it just fell into my lap, and it worked out.
Okay, wonderful. That's great. Especially when it comes to being a manager of people. I mean, it's a completely different skill set. I mean, when you were a project manager, what's the saying? You have all the responsibility but none of the authority, because no one really
Yeah.
reports to you. But then when you're a manager of people, well, yeah, you actually have direct reports now, and now you have people who could potentially be complaining about you behind your back, and you'd never know. You only find out later on.
This is true, and I still don't know. So,
All these years later, all this time later, for sure. So, for the
yeah.
people who want to become or aspire to become managers of people, what tips would you have for them to prepare themselves?
Oh wow. So that's something that I coach on now, and that's actually the topic that I speak on as well. And that is building relationships. That is so amazing. I went into my MBA program thinking I was going to learn about finance and accounting and all these, business things. And the biggest lesson that I got coming out of my MBA program is that business is about relationships. And when we look at it in a professional perspective, I think a lot of times we lose the human element of managing people, and especially in engineering where everything is technical, it's really tempting to just check the box and to get the project done and be on time and under budget and not pay attention to the people, the actual person, the human being who's doing the work for us. And so that was one of the biggest things that I think my MBA program helped me with was I took leadership classes, I took organizational behavior classes. And so going into that role of managing people, it was very fresh for me to say, I need to treat people like human beings and recognize that they're not just robots coming into work to do my bidding for them. I'm not just handing them work to do. And really appreciate them for the value that they bring to the job. And I think that gets overlooked a lot, that appreciation, and it's just often churning from one project to the next and not taking that time to one, get to know our employees. I always say you don't need to be best friends with your employees, but you do need to know them as people. And you do need to respect them as human beings and show them appreciation. And that goes really a long way.
Treat people as human beings. Imagine
What a
that.
concept.
I know, right? But then you left all of that behind, Stephanie. You became a mental fitness coach and a life coach. So what prompted you to make that switch?
So I actually left corporate in January of 2020. So it was right before COVID. So who knew, right? But I was getting very burned out and I was not feeling fulfilled and just generally unhappy professionally. And the year of COVID for me was a positive thing, I think, from the respect that I was able to get a lot of clarity around, what direction I wanted to go. And being away from corporate, being out of that for a while and having that downtime really helped me reflect on where had I been, what do I find fulfilling? So when I looked at that, I said, I didn't necessarily enjoy the technical aspects of what I had been doing in my former job, but I loved and I missed the mentoring, the development, and the coaching of people. And I knew that I could make a difference in helping other engineering leaders become better leaders, not just managers. And I didn't come to that right away. It was very circuitous, but in the end, when I, reflected on my 22-year career in engineering, said this is where I can make a difference.
Okay. One thing I forgot to even mention. I mean, I mentioned you're a mental fitness coach and a life coach. What's the difference between the two of them?
So, mental fitness coach, I actually coach through a program called Positive Intelligence, and it is very focused on looking at life's challenges from a positive perspective and considering that any challenge can be turned into a gift or opportunity. And so that just is, bringing that when you look at mental fitness, bringing your perspective from that negative place where we all tend to go a lot, especially when we're in the middle of challenges or we're in the middle of things that are hard for us. But focusing on the positive things that can come out of that and shifting perspective. So that's the mental fitness piece. Life coaching, I can coach on many aspects of life. So I could coach on your finances. I can coach on your career. I can coach on, relationships. So that's kind of more all encompassing, whereas the mental fitness is very focused.
Okay. I mentioned in the intro that you have a vegan cookie business. So what prompted you to start that?
Well, I will say that was part of my exit from the corporate world. And I like to say it was not a midlife crisis as much as it was a midlife awakening, where I knew that I wasn't happy in what I was doing. And I'm a lifelong baker. And I said, well, I don't really know where I want to go from here, but I know that I love to bake and people always told me that I should sell what I make. So I started the vegan cookie business on the heels of exiting corporate. But, that it was all part of that process for me in gaining clarity of, where did I want to go moving forward.
I used to work with a woman who was an excellent baker too, to the point where it was, I thought it was bakery grade. She used to bring in these cupcakes, and she brought some in for my birthday one year, and man, I devoured those things. they were so good. I was just like, wow. And she was working as an administrator. She was like at the front desk, taking people's names and leading people to other people's offices, that kind of thing. It's like, man, you're in the wrong business.
And that might be one thing that my direct reports miss about me in the corporate world, because I always brought cookies in all the time and put them in a break room. So if I am missed for anything, it could be that.
Hey, you were breaking cookies and I like you. I ain't saying nothing bad about you in my exit interview.
No bribery there, I'm telling you, Neil.
That's wonderful. All right. So, Stephanie, when I first started this podcast, and it was all about the struggle, it was my own struggles giving presentations in front of people and what I had to do to get better at it, because I saw the benefit of doing so. So when it comes to just presenting or public speaking generally, is that something you've always been good at? And if not, what did you do to get better at it?
No, that is not something I've always been good at. So I'm actually an introvert, and in the past had found it very challenging to get up and speak in front of people. And in fact, in my very first class of my MBA program, we had to get up and give speeches, and I was scared out of my mind. The professor recorded us and gave us DVDs of our presentations, and I never watched it. I was so afraid to watch it, and to this day have not watched it. But I will say, through my MBA program, so many classes required us to get up and speak in front of people. And that really grew my confidence. And the more that I did it, the more that I practiced, the more comfortable I became with it, and the more confident I became.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started giving presentations in front of management, I had to do so on a monthly basis. And I did not know it was possible to sweat that profusely in one's body, Stephanie. I mean, it was coming from everywhere. It was like I just got out the shower, and it just kept coming. I could never get dry. What's going on here? And what was so crazy? You thought I would have gotten better over time, but I didn't really. I mean, I knew that I wasn't doing so well at those presentations, because I would get questions afterwards that I thought I had answered during the presentation. It's like, I thought I answered that like 10 minutes ago. Why am I getting this question now? But when it came down to it, I just wasn't putting the information in a way that the audience could understand. I'm this engineer talking to a bunch of typically non-engineers, a lot of senior management types. And what they need from presentations is different than what I was giving them, obviously, because they were not getting it. And if I was sweating during the presentation, well, I was definitely sweating afterwards during that Q&A session.
But you learned from it, right? Through that feedback and the people asking questions, you learned.
Eventually, I learned
Yeah.
once my project got canceled. I was a stubborn guy. Don't be like me. Learn quicker. I just get up there, man, and I try to freestyle it. I read my slides. I try to get out of there as quickly as possible, but I never got out of there as quickly as possible, Stephanie, because I get a whole bunch of questions afterwards, and I just go, well, see you next month.
We'll do this again.
Yep. Same time, same channel. So when it comes to the presentations that you do, Stephanie, do you have a process for putting them together? And if so, what is it?
Well, you would think as an engineer, former practicing engineer, I would have a lot of a process, but I don't. I kind of freestyle it, like you were saying, but it's more. I do an outline. I always do an outline. So I guess if I'm talking about process, that's where I would start is an outline. And then I start putting slides together, and it depends upon, who my audience is. But the slides will flow from my outline, and then I'll kind of just fill in the blanks as I go. And as I look at how the slides are coming together, I can see if there's information that I still want to convey that I haven't picked up in the slides. And that's kind of how I do it, but always starting with an outline, just to get my thoughts down and to figure out the flow and in which order I want to present the information.
Well, you definitely were light years ahead of me when I was giving presentations. It's like outline, what's that? I ain't got time for all that. I'm just gonna put some stuff on the slides. I'm gonna get up there. I'm gonna read them real good. I'm gonna read them slow. I'm gonna try to read them really slow. Make sure the people hear the words. I don't want to read too fast. And then I'm gonna ask for questions, hoping no one asks any. That was me, but it never really worked out so well until that project got canceled, as I mentioned. Yeah, well, something you
And
gotta
then you said,
learn.
I have to make a change here.
That's exactly what happened. I thought I was gonna lose my job. I just actually got turned. I got put onto other projects, but that was definitely the wake up call that I needed to think. Well, you know what? Maybe this is something that I need to get better at. Maybe an outline would be something to look into.
And so, do you use one now?
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, I often ask that question about process because I figured I developed, well, I developed one for myself. So I'm curious. I was always curious to see if other people had done something similar. And just kind of like you think that as an engineer, we're all process oriented. I worked in medical devices. You have to follow certain processes to even put out a medical device. Everything is so FDA regulated. But when it came to the presentations that I had to give, I knew nothing about any of that. I wasn't even thinking about it. So when it comes to the presentations that when before you give a presentation, do you ever get nervous? And if so, how do you deal with your nerves?
Yes, I do get nervous. I think that that's just human nature. Even as much as I like to say I'm very confident in what I'm doing, I am, but I think it is just human nature to be nervous before presenting in front of people. And for me, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna go vomit before the presentation, but it's usually just a little bit of jitters. And so what I do, probably about an hour before, I will go just through all of my slides very briefly and just highlight the points that I want to talk about during the presentation. And then just put it away because I don't want to have that like going through my head over and over right before. I like to get more like in a calm place. And I do meditation. And so I find that if I take that maybe 5 minutes or so ahead of the presentation and just get calm and calm my mind down, that helps quite a bit, honestly, in terms of getting those jitters out of the way.
It's funny you mentioned vomit, Stephanie, because I was a guest on a podcast like last week, actually, so very recent. And the host was telling me when he was in college, he had to give a presentation and he got so nervous that he vomited in front of the entire class.
No.
And I mean,
Wow.
and I was talking about how I used to sweat profusely, but I was like, man, I ain't got nothing on you.
Wow.
Vomited in front of people. I was like, you went back the next day? Like, I got transferred. We're done. He's a senior too, so he's almost done. So it would have made sense to go transfer somewhere else. But I was like, man,
Wow.
can I do this class remote? I can't be in front of these people anymore. Yeah, that was crazy when he said
That
that.
poor guy.
Yeah, I never heard anyone get that nervous to the point where they vomited. But I mean, yeah,
No.
yikes. I was like, yeah, that's crazy cleanup. So when it comes to people who are listening or watching this conversation, Stephanie, and they see the benefit of getting better at public speaking, giving presentations, what's the number one tip you could give them?
The number one tip for getting better at presentations and presenting. Wow. Well, the benefits of it, I think, it's growing yourself personally, professionally, growing your confidence. One thing that I have found has been a little surprising, honestly, in getting out and speaking is just how many people I've met. And it's a way to build your network and also just hear stories from other people. And so when you speak, it's inevitable afterwards, people will come up and they'll share their own stories. And so that's been very helpful to me. One, for just hearing from other people and getting other perspectives and helping me learn as I go what resonates with my audience. And so as I've continued, I would say I'm early in my public speaking career, but as I've gone, I've been able to tailor and refine what I speak about because I talk to people and learn what resonates with them. And so I think that that's a good tip. I mean, when you're asking about tips and growing in speaking, is not just to go up and throw the information out there and then leave, but actually interact with people and understand what's resonating. So that will help you get better as a speaker.
Indeed. Yeah, what resonates with others. Basically, don't do what I did. Actually have some thought as to what you were going to tell these people and the way you're going to do it to make sure that it makes sense to them as opposed to just what makes sense to you, because those two things might not match up all the time. Well, this has been a great
Oh,
conversation,
absolutely.
Stephanie. Thank you so much for being a guest. How can people get in touch with you?
So I am on LinkedIn and my profile is Stephanie Nowak, Nowak, MBA. And also I have a website that is engineeredtobecome.com. And it speaks all about how I help women engineering leaders become leaders and not just managers. We prioritize people over process.
Wonderful. Well, everyone, that marks the end of another edition of Teach the Geek interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work for technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Until next time, take care and stay safe. Thanks, Stephanie.
Thank you, Neil.
Well, everyone, that marks another episode in the can. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like these episodes and want to support Teach the Geek, please subscribe, share, and like on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Or on all of them. Also, if you prefer to watch the episodes, head on over to the YouTube channel at youtube.teachthegeek.com. Until next time.